Well, the sharp rise in support for One Nation in state and national polling this year suggests a serious hardening of attitudes towards immigrants and refugees in a significant portion of the Australian community. Though One Nation polled strongly in urban areas in the South Australian election last week, it's traditionally strongest in rural and regional areas. So how are people with a refugee background who live in regional Australia actually faring? How welcome and supported do they feel? Well, a multi-year research project called Settling Well investigates the impacts of refugee settlement in regional Australia, and this week it published its interim report. And we're joined now by Associate Professor Natasha Cloker from the School of Social Sciences at the University of Wollongong, who heads up the Settling Well project. Welcome, Professor, and I should have checked, is it Professor Cloker?
Yeah, Clocker.
Clocker, sorry. Okay, excellent. Hi, Natasha. Now tell us, which areas does the Settling Well survey focus on and why?
First of all, thanks for having me this morning, Julian. So we are focusing our study on 8 different towns. So we've worked in Albury, Orange and Cowra in New South Wales, in Wodonga, Mildura and Nil in Victoria, and Rockhampton and Townsville in Queensland.
And could you describe for us what sort of people and the numbers of people who've participated in what I understand is a survey of how things are going, but from more than one perspective as well, and how confident you are that the trends that you've found in your interim report do apply more broadly?
Yeah, so the types of people that we've involved in the survey are people from refugee backgrounds. So that's people who've come to Australia because they've experienced persecution and war overseas. We had 628 survey responses, so that's a really large survey. And the people involved were of diverse ages, they'd been in Australia for diverse lengths of time, and they came from 32 different countries of birth. The most common ones were the Democratic Republic of Congo, Myanmar, and Central African Republic and Bhutan. It's really important that I note that this isn't a stratified random sample. So this was a convenience sample. So we can't claim that it's representative of the total population of refugees in regional areas, but we do have a lot of confidence in what the results have shown us. And there's a couple of reasons for that. One is that in each place where we worked, so those cities and towns that I mentioned before, in each of those places we worked with co-researchers who are themselves from refugee backgrounds and who live in those communities. And they did an exceptional job of making sure that the survey reached people from across their communities and to make sure that it was really targeting a lot of people of different ages and you know, different life experiences, as I mentioned before. We're also really confident because we didn't just do surveys. We did 321 interviews as well. And that involves, you know, probably more than 600 hours of sitting and speaking to people. We spoke to people from refugee backgrounds, and we also spoke to broader community members in each of the places where the research is taking place. And so that ground truthing really gives us a lot of confidence in what the survey has found.
Sounds like a lot of cups of tea. Natasha.
A lot of cups of tea.
So what responses or findings from the Settling Well interim report stand out most for you?
Oh, there's a lot that stands out. I guess a really big one is that 76% of the survey respondents said that they want to stay in these regional towns where they're living long term. And that really goes against a lot of what you hear about, you know, people's experiences of living in regional towns and people wanting to move to metro areas. Another one that really stands out for me is that 93% of the survey respondents are satisfied with how safe they feel living in these towns. And to me, that's absolutely extraordinary when you think that this is a group of people who fled their home countries in fear. And now they're living in regional Australia, and 93% of them are satisfied with how safe they feel there. To me, that's just extraordinary. And if I get away from the statistics for a moment, another thing that just really stands out to me, and it's come through all those many hours I've spent sitting in people's houses, having cups of tea, like you said, and having those conversations, are just the mundane, everyday but super important things that people in regional communities are doing to help and support one each other, and support one another across cultural boundaries. We hear so much negativity, but in the real world, at the everyday level, people are just getting on with being neighbours, with helping one another, with taking each other to the emergency department at midnight and sitting with each other when their kids are sick, helping elderly neighbours in the garden or with their animals, you know, checking on each other during a power outage, bringing food to your neighbours. All of these things are happening across cultural boundaries in our regional communities every day. And to me, that mundane everyday stuff that's going on is really a standout what I've learned through this project.
It's really encouraging to hear that the sort of the day-to-day on the ground might be different from perhaps the environment that is projected when we look at things like polling figures on different political parties and the like. But Natasha, I did want to ask you, what did you find about experiences with racism or discrimination from people of refugee background in regional Australia?
Absolutely. So 45% of the survey respondents did tell us that they've experienced racism in the places where they're living, so in these regional communities. Often that happened on public transport or at work. And here I need to particularly flag that young people working in the retail and fast food sectors have particularly drawn attention to their experiences of racism through some of the conversations I've had. So I think that's really important. Those frontline young staff in those types of roles do cop a bit. Another place or another life experience where racism sometimes occurs is when dealing with real estate agents. So people often felt that they're being overlooked for properties because of their cultural background. So those are some of the most common areas where racism's occurring. I think what's really important to draw attention to is that a lot of the racism we did hear about is about exclusion. It's about being overlooked. It's about feeling belittled due to having an accent, for example. And this is really hurtful and distressing and can limit people's life experiences and opportunities in a whole range of areas. But I do need to stress that there was very little evidence of violent or aggressive racism happening in these communities. And I think that's really important and reassuring as well.
Natasha, what picture emerges from your survey findings in terms of access to the educational, language or other services that people from refugee backgrounds, particularly in regional areas, need?
Yeah, so I think I'd want listeners to imagine for a moment landing in a completely new place that you know very little about, and that in many cases, if you're coming directly from overseas and being settled by the Australian government, you know, you've not done any research on that place, you know very little about living in Australia.
And I think it's about three quarters of the people you spoke to who were sort of living in regional Australia as their first stop as well.
Yeah, so a really high percentage. Absolutely. So for a lot of people, you know, just having no knowledge of this place and having to learn every system from scratch, and we all know how difficult bureaucracy can be to deal with, but having to learn how to do everything from scratch. So a lot of settlement support is needed just to learn how to do life in Australia, from how to rent, how to enroll kids in school, how to see doctors, how to open a bank account, all of those sorts of things. So this is why the government funds service providers. So in some of the places where we've worked, it's the Australian Red Cross Society. In other places, it's AIMS. And these are services that are funded to really provide that initial settlement support when people arrive to help them learn about how to function in Australian society. English, as you've mentioned, is absolutely critical. And we do have the Adult Migrant Education Program, and there are incredible teachers. I've spoken to a lot of them as well who run those classes in the Adult Migrant Education Program. What can be a little bit tricky in regional Australia, and this is an area where a bit more focus is needed, is that when you've got smaller class sizes, because you don't have as many people as you do, say, in Western Sydney who are needing these classes, it means that the frequency of classes and so on can sometimes make it harder for people to progress as quickly. But certainly those English classes in the early days are absolutely critical to help people get settled in.
It's a pretty encouraging picture overall. I did want to ask you as well, Natasha, about the timing, because obviously this is a multi-year research project. And I obviously referred to the uplift in support for One Nation in recent polling. Do you have a sense of whether the results that you've got might in some ways predate some of this change of sentiment?
We'll find out. So we're running a second wave of the survey right now. So this was, as I've said, always designed to be a longitudinal study. So at the moment, we're recruiting actively in all of those communities where we're working for a second wave of the survey. So we'll really be able to see whether anything has changed over those intervening years. So yeah, that's a watch this space.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, it's a very complex but encouraging picture overall in ways that perhaps people might not suspect. So Natasha Klocker, thank you so much for joining us on Sunday Extra this morning to discuss it.
Thanks so much and enjoy the rest of your day.
That's Associate Professor Natasha Klocker from the School of Social Sciences at the University of Wollongong, and Natasha heads up the multi-year research project. The interim report is basically the halfway mark, and so there's more work to be done, as Natasha was saying, but the report is called Settling Well in Regional Australia, Experiences of People from Refugee Backgrounds.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.